Church, this morning, we are starting a two-part series titled Take Back Your Mind. We know that we are living in a world which is stressful, fast-paced, and constantly changing. How do we then, in this age of anxiety, take back our mind and receive the peace that we need? It is then our honor and blessing to have Pastor Chua Seng Lee this morning kick-starting the series. Pastor Chua is the author of My Voice, Overcoming, where he collected stories of people suffering from depressions. Pastor Chua has spent the last 27 years counseling and helping thousands of people in the area of emotional health and addictions. Pastor Chua is also the Deputy Senior Pastor of Bethesda Bedok Tampines Church. Hope Singapore, this morning, please join me to warmly welcome Pastor Chua.
Thank you, church. Thank you, Pastor Jeff and Pastor Claudia, for inviting me today. And it's a pleasure to be here. I came here excited because I have a lot of good friends in Hope Church. Kelvin Lee, you are so disappointing you're not here. Okay, never mind. I know he's in one center somewhere. And to the two centers out there, welcome again. I'm very happy to be here to share the Word of God with all of you. Now, today, before I start, I was asked by a friend to ask you this question. Have you watched the YouTube clip on LifeFest about the Children's Day celebration? Those of you who have seen it, can you wave at me? Not bad. So, I'm not sure. I double-checked your senior pastor, so he knows. You all saw this picture, right? So, I was supposed to come and thank Pastor Jeff on behalf of all the children for the free teddy bears. But I have better news for him today. Someone actually called up after this video went online. Someone actually called up and said he wanted to underwrite all the teddy bears. So Pastor Jeff, you are spared. But then again, he was just sharing with me just now that he and Pastor Claudia was all ready to sponsor the teddy bears. That reflects how generous your senior pastor is. Can you give them a big hand? Thank you, church, for having me here. I'm glad to be here to share with you something that's very much on my heart. Now, before I start, let me just share with you some teaser just to prepare us, all right? So, one businessman came to textile center and he was looking for this place to dry clean his jacket. And he saw this, Mr. 1 Hour Dry Cleaning. So, he was excited. So, he went up there, he filled up the form and he says, can I pick up my jacket at 5 o'clock? And then the lady at the back says that, oh, you can't. You can get it on Thursday. And so he waited for a moment and asked this question. I thought your name is Mr. 1 Hour Dry Cleaning. And the lady said, it's just a name. So the question you and I have to ask ourselves is, when Mr. and Mrs. Christian here, is this just a name? Can you and I be real with God? Are we real with God? Can we be real with God? Can we be real with one another? You see, in the last 10 years, when I'm working on this topic on mental health and depression, I found that many Christians struggle with being real with God. They say, I can't tell God that I'm angry with God. They didn't realize that actually God knows everything. But they struggle with that. And some will share with me that they can't tell their cell group or their life group that they are suffering with mental illness. They cannot use the M word. I'm not talking about masturbation. Oh, you look very serious. Okay, cannot talk about this one, huh? Okay, cannot. Okay. I'm talking about mental illness. So, because why? Because I say the moment I tell people that I have mental illness or I'm suffering from depression, suddenly the whole cell group will give me that kind of look. And everybody will sit a few inches away from me for fear that if they touch me, that the virus of mental illness will go to them. Today, let me just dispel the myth, okay? Mental illness have no virus. It is not a virus. You don't catch mental illness by being close to someone with mental illness. Can I hear amen? All right? Because it is a sickness, but it is not contagious. And he that's in you is greater than he that's of the world. God is here with us. God will help us to help them. All right? So, I want to talk about this because just 2 weeks ago, I think many of us heard about this news, all right, about a pastor committed suicide 2 weeks ago, all right? And I want you to know that it is a very real and current problem. This mental health issue is a very real and current problem in Singapore church today. Let me just quickly run through some statistics for you. These are the numbers for the last 20 years, all right? You look at the number of suicide in Singapore. In the last 10 years, you can see that on the average, we have about 400 people committing suicide every year. Now, statisticians among us will tell us that actually, you look at the population, it is about the same. But as a pastor, this is my reply to them. For every life lost, is one life too many. Because these statistics means nothing to the family member who have just lost somebody. It matters to them. Now, because I work among young people, I particularly want to draw your attention to the young people. You look at 2008, all right, there are about 64 young people committed suicide. But you look in the last 10 years, all right, the number jumped up, averaging almost about 100 every year. Young people choosing to terminate their life. Why? It's a very real and current problem in Singapore and in our churches today. There's a church that I work with, that I came to know and I work with them. In the last 4 years, they have lost 4 young adults, meaning one every year in a church. So as a body of Christ, we cannot afford to be ignorant anymore. We need to pay attention. I like this particular quote by the writer of Christianity Today. He said this, as many of us learned of Jared Wilson's suicide, I'm reminded that pastors and Christians are not immune, and being honest, being real about that is good for all of us. Being real, being honest about our struggle is good for all of us because we are all not immune. We are not immune to mental health problem or suicide. All right, it is good for us to be honest about it, be real about it, so that we can deal with it. You see, denial will not help us, but being honest about it, being real about it, can help us. And I would like to show you that you're not alone, because in the scripture, the Bible writer, they are honest about their struggle. Today, I want to unpack for us Psalms 42. To just to show you that how the psalmist wrestled through his depression episode and how God come through for him. I know that in a crowd like this, some of you are listening to this because you want to help somebody. And I pray that as you listen to this exposition of Psalm 42, it will help us. It will give you some handles. And for some of you, if you are struggling with mental illness today, or you're struggling with depression today, I pray that as you hear the word of God, God will lift you up from your depression. Now, before we start, let's pray. Let's ask God to unpack the scripture for us. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Come and remove every distracting voices around us. Block away every accusing voice of the evil one. And help us to only hear the very life-giving Word of God. At this very moment, Lord, I ask of you to help me to hide myself behind the cross so that let every word that proceeds from this place be your very word for your people today. Let them only hear what you want them to hear today. And for those who are not well among us, Lord, we pray that as your word go forth, Lord, release the healing that's available, that your people may be able to experience your touch here today. For I pray all this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Amen. I come from a tradition that likes to read the Word of God aloud together. Can you oblige with me?
All right, I'm going to, Psalms 42, there are only 11 verses. So can we all read out together? All right, because in the olden days, scriptures are meant to read together aloud. All right, so I'm going to show you, there are altogether six likes. We read it out together. All right, ready? 1, 2, 3. As a deer pants for the water brook, so pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for the living God. Where shall I come and appear before you? My tears have been my food in me. They say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember, and I pour out my souls within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence. O my God, I sow in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and all your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime and His song in the night. Prayer to God. And I'll say to the Lord, my Lord, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As the shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. May the Lord bless the public reading of His word. I trust as you read it, you get excited too because your church name is mentioned many times. Now you notice that the psalmist complains and questions throughout the psalms. All right, later I'll show you the whole structure of the psalms. All right, you can see that the psalmist is also known as the son of Korah. All right, he was very real with God. All right, he did not hold back his frustration over what the enemies was doing. The enemies was taunting him. And he did not hide his own feeling, his own internal struggles. In fact, he questioned his soul, why are you so downcast, O my soul? So what does that tell us? It tells us this, you and I can be real with God. Can I hear amen? Amen. All right, do me a favor, tell the person beside you, you can be real with God. All right, we really don't have to hide because we have a good God who loves us. We don't have to hide our feelings. All right, I'm going to skip the next two verses, the next two slides, okay? Just to show you that you can be angry, you can be desperate, but yet you can be honest with God. Because some people say, I cannot tell God that I'm angry with God. Don't worry, the last time I checked with God, He's very steady. All right, He's very secure. He's not afraid of your anger. He's not afraid of your questioning. Our God is a great God. He loves you. But some of you say, but Pastor, if I question God, then God will not love me. That's not true. Nothing you do today will ever change God's love for you. You cannot work harder to earn His love. And nothing you do will change His love. His love changes not. Usually I hear an amen. Let me try again. His love changes not. Amen. You know, when we say amen, it's just to affirm and to say that we believe, all right? Now, there are four things that we can learn from Psalms 42, all right? One is that you can see that the psalmist asks God why. It is okay to ask why. Secondly, he affirmed God's sovereign love for him throughout the night. And then he preached to his own soul, and then finally, he thirsts for God. Now, what I'm going to do for us today is that instead of expounding from verse 1 to verse 11, I'm going to do it the other way around. I'm going to do from 11 back to verse 1. All right? Because I would like to end off with the last part, which is to encourage us to thirst for more of God. Let me start. All right, how can we be real with God? First thing is, it is okay to ask why. Verse 9 tells us, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Now, what was the psalmist doing? He was being very honest with himself. He's very honest with God. He asked God, God, why have you forgotten me? Why have you left me alone? My enemies are just behind my back. Where are you? So he was asking God, why are you so silent? Now, just in case I forget, let me drop you a very important truth. When you don't see the hand of God, remember his heart. Trust his heart. When you and I cannot see the hand of God, we need to learn to trust his heart. His heart of love for you changes not. So he asked, God, why are you silent? God, where are you? Now, since this is the beginning of the sermon, so I can give you a bit more technical. All right, so I'll share you quickly about this. Is actually a theological question. If I cannot see God, God is not real. Have you heard the argument before? All right, so let me do some quick apologetic for you. All right, so first and foremost, just because you cannot see God, it does not mean that God does not exist. Because there are things that exist but cannot be seen, such as your values, such as ideas, such as thoughts. You cannot see them, but they are there. Now, that leads me to the second part, which is known otherwise in apologetics as category fallacy. Meaning this, all right? You are assigning a property to one particular object of another category. All right? So, like, for example, can you see the color of a music note? You can't, because music note is meant to be heard, not seen. You get the picture? All right, so that's known as category fallacy. Now, in the same note, God cannot be seen because God is, the scripture tells us, God is unseen. All right, it's already in our scripture. God is unseen. Next, there are some objects that are partly visible. All right, we do not see the three-dimensional object in its entirety. All right, for example, our body has parts we cannot see, yet we believe they are there. All right, for example, can you see your heart? You can't, right? But yet the fact that you are here sitting means you got a living heart. Amen? All right. And then lastly, there are ways of seeing. There are other ways of seeing. There's more than just visual seeing, otherwise known as sensory perception. Sensory perception means the ability to see. All right? But there's other form of sensing something. For example, you can sense fear. You can't see fear, but you can sense fear. All right, you can sense the holy presence of God, but you can't see the presence of God, but you can feel it. All right, so these are just ways where you can know that God is real, even though where you can't see Him. What am I doing? I'm just helping us to see that it is okay to be raw with your feelings. Even though when you can't see God, it doesn't mean that God is not there. But having said that, I want to encourage us, don't hold back your feelings. Don't hold back your raw emotions. All right? One of the healthy ways to deal with our emotion is to be honest with our emotions. Because when you suppress your feelings, when you try to deny your feelings, what happened to you? Or what will happen to you? When you deny your feelings, you will explode when the right time comes. And that's not a good way to manage our emotions. That's not a good way to deal with our feelings. We need to know that it is okay with God to be totally honest with God, to really let go our raw emotions to God. Because God is secure. God is not affected by your feelings. God can handle our feelings. So the first thing that I want to point out from Psalms 42 is that you and I can be honest with our feelings with God. All right? Sometimes you can question, God, I can't see you. I can't feel you. God, where are you? Where are you in my pain? God, I try to be good. Why is bad thing happening to me? It is okay to be honest about your struggle with God. Application for us is to allow yourself to be honest with your feelings. That's application number one. In the same way, if you're helping with somebody who is going through a hard time, please don't tell them, no, you cannot say that about God. Now, what, when you do that, what happens? You basically deny the person of his feeling. You also deny yourself of the chance to help. All right? So if somebody says, but Pastor, what if the person says something wrong about God? Can I tell you something? God doesn't need you to defend him. All right? Because if you are really helping somebody who's going through emotional trauma or mental distress, by checking their feelings, you are stopping them from receiving help from you. All right, so if you are hearing someone who's going through a pain, just allow them to ventilate, knowing that they are in pain. That ventilation is normal. Just think with me for a moment. If a ton of brick landed on your toe, what will happen to you? You will shout. You will scream, right? So can I come to that? It cannot scream. It's just a ton of brick, cannot scream. You can't do that. It's not in touch with reality. So when people are in pain, they will say things that doesn't sound right, and that's because they are in pain. So as a loving church, as a healing community, we need to learn to hold this gently. Just as God do not judge us when we ask God why, in the same way a healing community will hold the pain of the person without judging the person, knowing that this person is going through distress. All right? So first application, allow ourselves to be honest with God. Second, how did the psalmist respond to God? First, he asked God why. All right, so you and I, we must learn to allow ourselves to ask why and others to ask why as well. Secondly, how did he do? He affirmed God's sovereign love. He affirms God's sovereign love. Verse 8, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. And verse 5, verse 11, you see, he calls God my help and my God. So you can see that throughout the Psalms, the psalmist continued to affirm the goodness of God. Even though he was going through distress, right? I've used Psalms 42 to show people before that if you use DSM is a diagnostic manual that doctor use, psychiatry use. They use DSM to serve as a checklist to see whether someone is going through depression or not. If you use the DSM and you check through Psalms 42, you discover that the psalmist has everything that fulfills the checklist for mental depression. All right? Now, time does not allow me to unpack. Let me just move on, all right? So, but even though he's going through that, he continued to affirm God's sovereign love. He says that God, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his songs will be me in the night. That's why I entitled these Psalms as a song in the night. In fact, many scholars believe that Psalms 42 was meant to be sung at night. All right? So he never stopped believing in the absolute sovereignty of God in his suffering. So let me just quickly show you. These are all 11 verses together. Let me just quickly show you the structure. All right? The problem, the promise. If you don't believe me, go back and study Psalms 42 for yourself. In fact, Psalms 43 follow exactly the same structure. All right? That's why some scholars believe that Psalms 42, 43, they are the same actually. But never mind, let me come back to highlight one principle for you. All right? While he expresses his raw feeling, he was honest with his raw feelings, all right? He also reminded himself of the love of God. Less. He made a wrong conclusion. And that's what we need to do when we go through hard time. Yes, we do not deny times are hard. But yet we continue to look back and say that how God has been faithful. How God has been faithful. So application for us, continue to assure yourself of God's love in your life. Now, it's not denying your feelings, but even as you be honest with your feelings, assure yourself, remember those times that God has been faithful. Just like we sang the song earlier about the goodness of God, all right, that all my life, God has been faithful. So, just to show you the three very obvious songs that we are familiar with, Shout to the Lord, all right, it's a great song that many churches have used, but it came out of Darlene's own struggle of what? Financial struggles. She could not get her accounts balanced and she was stressed by it. And out of that desperation, out of that difficult moment, the Lord birthed off a new song. Shout to the Lord came up. The song, It Is Well With My Soul. It was not written when somebody is having a good time in an aircon condominium, drinking coconut juice, and then pen down, It Is Well With My Soul. No, it was not written in those nice moments. It was written by a person who had lost four daughters. And as the ship brought him to the place that they believed that the four daughters drowned, and he was there in his brokenness, he cried out to God, and the song came, It Is Well With My Soul. Of course, today we like to sing that song, I Raise an Anthem. Is it? Hallelujah. I Raise an Anthem, yeah. So there is also another song that burst forth recently about someone's son that was sick in the hospital, and everybody was just crying out to God for mercy, for miracle. And out came the song, I Raise an Anthem. All right? They are real with their pain, but yet they are reminded of God's love. At this point, I just want to share with you a real story in Singapore. There was this very powerful woman in Singapore. Because she is powerful and well-known, so I can't mention her name. Just enough to say that she was going through depression. And she shared this story with me I'll continue the story for you. Okay, so she was wrestling through depression, and she was desperate, and she wanted to find help. She has all the money she needs. She has all the connections she has in Singapore, but yet she was wrestling with depression. And then she traveled to America, and she got invited into an African church. Have you been to an African church before? Have you heard how they worship the Lord? Right, they dance, they sing, and it was very excited kind of worship. All right, a lot of movement, a lot of singing, and everybody was dancing all along. And she was just sitting there fighting her depression. But because she sat through that 1 hour of worship, depression left her. So she was so excited, she called me up because she said, Pastor, is it possible I can book Zoop, and then we can pack the whole place with all the people with depression, and we just zong them with all worship song. I knew her to know that she can make that happen because of a powerful connection. But of course, the psychiatrist friend that I have, they say, cannot lah. But it's just a way to show you there's power in worship. Because the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. So there's something that happens when we worship God. When you worship the Lord, the spirit of heaviness will leave you. All right, that's why the Bible reminded us that when David played the harp, what happened to Saul? The evil spirit left him. There's something happens when we worship God. There's something that will happen when we worship God. All right, so he affirms God's sovereign love. And how do you do that? Assure yourself of God's love in worship. Assure yourself of God's love in songs. That's why I want to thank the group of worship team here. Till morning comes, right? Yes. Till the morning comes, yes. I think that was wonderful. It was beautifully written. I watched it last night because Pastor Claudius shared it. Yeah, I think you shared it. It appeared on my Facebook, so I watched it. Beautiful, because there's something happened when we look to God in worship. All right, so how did the psalmist was being honest with God? First, he asked God why. All right, so you allow yourself to ask why. It is okay. You can be raw. You can be real with your feelings with God. Second, how do you wrestle with that? You need to continue to affirm God's faithfulness. Remember the time that God has been good, because He is always good. And you can express that in worship. Thirdly, he preached to his own soul. All right, verse 5. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence. What was the psalmist saying? What was the psalmist doing? Okay, I was just joking with your senior pastor. I studied higher Hokkien in Singapore. So you know how does this verse sound like in Hokkien? Why are you so sian? Basically, that's what I mean. Why are you in despair? Why are you so downcast? The psalmist is talking to himself. He is speaking to his mind. He's speaking to his soul. And he preached to his soul, hope in God. And the name of your church is? Hey, if any church that should be that bring healing to Singapore over this area should be your church. Right? Because you are a church of? Yes. Hope in God. Yeah, come on, if you want to give the Lord a big hand, then give the Lord a big hand. Because He's deserving of our praise. Preach to our soul. Preach to our mind. Preach to what your voice, what your mind is telling you. Listen to what the Word of God is saying. Most of unhappiness in our life is because you are listening to your mind. There's a saying, pain is inevitable. Misery is a choice. Pain in life is inevitable. Right? You can go out, someone knock you, you feel the pain, right? But misery is a choice. And that's where our mind sometimes will speak to us and make us feel miserable. So in psychological terms, they call it negative self-talk. In Christian circle, we all commonly use this as ungodly belief. All right. So what are these negative self-talk? Sometimes we tell ourselves, we will hear ourselves telling ourselves that I'm worthless, I'm selfish, I'm hopeless, I'm careless, I'm bad, I'm no good, I'm unlovable. All this in your head here, telling yourself that. It's called negative self-talk. This is one literary mentor that I have. I like to read his book, and I learned a lot from this man. His name is known as Martin Lloyd-Jones. Martin Luther. Wake up, wake up. Lack of coffee. Martin Lloyd-Jones, all right? And from UK, he used to be a pastor at Westminster Chapel. And in the book, Spiritual Depression, he said this. Do you realize that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you're listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Take those thoughts that come to you the moment you wake up in the morning. You have not originated them, but they are talking to you. They bring back the problems of yesterday. Right? You wake up and suddenly you feel lousy. Why? Your mind is talking to you. Somebody is talking. Who is talking to you? Yourself is talking to you. Now, this man's treatment in Psalms 42 was this. Instead of allowing this self to talk to him, he starts talking to himself. What art thou that cast down, oh my soul, he asks. His soul has been depressing him, crushing him. So he stands up and says, self, listen for a moment. I will speak to you. So you're going to paraphrase Romans for us. If God is for us, who can be against you? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for you, how will he not also with him graciously give you all things? Who shall bring any charge against you as God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn you? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for you. Who shall separate you from the love of Christ? And the answer is? So what did the psalmist do? So he basically says, self, listen for a moment. I will speak to you. And what did he say? Yes. Yes, what did he say? Yes. We must learn to preach to our mind. We must learn to preach to ourselves. Don't listen to your body. Don't listen to what your mind, especially if it's negative. You see, a lot of negative things come through our mind, mental faculty to attack our heart. We need to undo them with the Word of God. We need to undo them with the truth of God. We must learn to preach the gospel of. Let me try. We must preach the gospel of to ourselves. All right, I'll skip this part about my army experience, but it suffice to tell you that if you ask any athletes, if you ask anyone who is involved in sports, when you run, after a while, you begin to hear your body telling you, tired, tired. Why are you suffering yourself? Why are you doing this? You know, look at Pastor Jeff, he's enjoying his coffee now. All right, so you'll be hearing yourself talking to yourself while you're running. What do you do at those moments? Stop. Join Pastor Jeff. All right, but if you are, that's why we talk about a champion mindset. A champion mindset is where you talk to yourself. You don't let your body talk to you. Because your body, being flesh, being fallen, will give you all the negative vibes. We must not live by how you feel. You must be tutored by the Word of God over your feelings. Speak truth. Speak God's love. Speak God's strength over your body. All right, so when I was running, doing my officer cadet days, I was running. All right, I feel so tired. I feel like giving up because I see my friend drop out one after another. I also feel like dropping out. Then the Lord reminded me, why are you here? I say, yes, God, I'm here to honor you. Then the Lord says, speak to your body. And I practice this. And before I realized, the running was over. All right? God will sustain you. You need to speak the promise of God. You need to speak the truth of God over your life. As I was worshiping here just now, I felt like there's another example the Lord wants me to use. And that is, there are times when you obey God. There are times that you trusted God. You trusted God to provide. You trusted God to do something. And you move out by faith. And then the devil starts telling you negative thoughts. Do you hear God rightly? You sure God will provide? Look at the person God didn't provide. You sure God will provide for you? What do you call that? Negative self-talk. So what must we do? We must declare the name of God. He is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. Now, I don't know who this example is for who, but by faith, I'm just releasing it. God will provide. If you're doing His will, all right? Now, the application for us is that we must address the self-talk. Because of the fallen nature, there's always this negative self-talk that comes. In fact, in the secular world, when I do this training, I use this acronym ANTS. It stands for Automatic Negative Thinking. All right, you can go and Google it. There are a lot of ANTS operating. I was doing this course for a top boy school in Singapore. I can't tell you which name, but they're in Bishan. And I get every one of them to do the test. And these boys who are the top boys in Singapore, most of them have more than 5 out of 10 negative thoughts in their head. All right? Because of the fallen nature, there will always be negative thoughts in our mind. That's why the Bible says you are transformed by the renewing of our mind. You cannot renew your mind until you know what's wrong with your mind. All right? You understand what I'm saying? So because we keep using the word renewing of your mind, but what does that mean in concrete terms? You must first understand what is that negative thoughts. Then you replace that with a godly thoughts. There's a renewing that can take place. All right? Let me move on because of time. So the Bible reminds us death and life are in the power of the tongue. And therefore, you must speak rightly to your condition. All right? So can we do this together? Okay, you can always find scripture to justify this, okay? But because of the limit of the our slides, I put everything there without the scripture reference, all right? But these are truth of God about your life, all right? I'd like you to declare this together with me. Can? At the count of three, let's do it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I matter. I am loved. I can make it. I'm hanging in there. I will not give up. I am blessed. I am a winner. I'm more than a conqueror. I found favor with God and with man. I am strong. I am healed. I am whole. I can do this. Yes, I can. Amen. Now, just in case, so this is just another example for those of you who like charts. So anyway, these PowerPoint are in your church, so I leave to you all to do it, okay? So these are examples when you hear, I'm not good enough. You hear yourself telling yourself, I'm not good enough. I'm not special. I feel defeated. I just give up. I'm too broken. I'm stuck in this unhealthy place. Replace that with the truth of God. Let me move on, because I was told to end by 11:25. There are four things that the psalmist exhibited for us. First, he was honest with God. He asked God, why? Allow yourself to ask why. Secondly, he affirms God's sovereign love. So you need to allow yourself to assure yourself of the goodness of God in your life, especially in songs, especially at night. Okay. He preached to himself, all right? He addressed the negative self-talk. Finally, the greatest solution of all, thirst for God. Verse 1 to 2, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where shall I come and appear before God? The psalmist starts verse 1 to verse 2 with this cry of his heart, as the deer pants for the water brook. How does the deer pants for the water brook? If you don't drink water for the next 5 hours, you get a hint of how that feels. Right? As the deer pants for the water brook. That level of thirst, the level of longing, as the deer pants for the water brook. So my soul pants for you. My soul thirsts for you. My soul longs for you. Now, what is he not thirsting for? Now, you need to recognize that at the context of these psalms, there were enemies attacking him. There were people mocking him. And he wasn't asking for relief from these people. He wasn't asking for escape from all this danger. What was he asking for? He was asking for God. He was asking for God. In fact, let me just show you one more time. Four times in these two verses, four times, the word God is repeated. All right? Typical Bible study, highlight those common words, right? Two verses, four times the word God is uttered, reflecting the desire of the psalmist. He wasn't longing for relief. He wasn't longing for rest. He wasn't longing for some form of help. He was asking for God and God alone. Application for us today, this morning, is to learn to find a way to aid yourself to thirst for more of God. You see, for most of us, we are not easily thirsty, we are not easily hungry because we live in this country called Singapore. Everywhere you turn, you can find coffee, you can find good food. We have not really tasted hunger and thirst before. And so sometimes, even for our hunger for God, it is limited. Our thirst for God is limited. And in my last point, I want to encourage us, turn every of your pain, turn every of your disappointment, turn every of your setback to become salt, to add to your thirst. Because that will help you to thirst more. That will help you to long more for God. Don't waste your pain. Don't waste your setback. Turn everything the devil meant for evil, turn them for good. All right? Don't waste your pain. Can I have the worship team come up? Worship team? Yeah. Because this is a bit sensitive, so I better read from my phone. I'd like to end off by sharing you my own journey. 2008 was a year of change. It was a time of change because I felt God called me to do something different, to leave a place that I was very comfortable, to leave a place that I've been working for 16 years. All right? If you have been a place for 16 years, you become a furniture in that place. I know where to find things. I know where to get things. I know how to make things happen in that place that I work. And then suddenly the Lord says, it is time to move. It was a very difficult decision. I double-checked with God a few times. God, do you really mean it? And I turned to my few trusted friends and they felt that it is time. It is time to move on. And so in 2008, I did something that I thought I would have never done, and that is to leave the place that I've been working for 16 years. I thought I was being obedient to the sovereign call of God. I thought I was being godly. I thought I was doing something right. And therefore, because if you do something right, God will surely bless you, right? But God didn't tell me that He will surely bless me immediately. You know, God never promised you that when you obey God, God will bless you immediately, right? He will bless you, but He didn't say immediately. So the moment I tendered my resignation, the moment I moved on, suddenly, my world crashed. I was misunderstood. People begin to question my motive for living. People begin to come up with stories. Because I've been there for 16 years, so a lot of the people become my good friends, my close friends. In fact, my life revolved in that place. But these people that I used to be close to, my friends, my mentors, they could not understand my action. Because they think that there are many good things going for me. Why do you want to do something? Why do you want to rock something that... Why do you want to rock the place by living? And many people begin to create stories, narratives about why I have chosen to live. And it's natural because they were trying very hard to fill in the information gap. You know, when you want to really obey the Lord, it is not logical for a lot of people. Right? So for them, they're trying to fill in the information gap to the best they understand. And so as a result, it became a year of pain and a year of steps. I feel stabbed by many people. It was the most painful time in my life. And especially I felt very stabbed by the stories they created, otherwise known as gossip. I felt hurt, I felt wounded, I felt abused. I thought many would celebrate my obedience, but no. In fact, many people distanced themselves from me. It was as if I caught a virus. We're talking about people that you love, we're talking about people that matters to you. And sometimes we hurt the most by the very people we love. And that's exactly what happened to me. I felt so wounded by the people I loved. And as a result, I realized that I became very raw with my emotions. I remember sitting in my mentor's office, and my mentor asked me a very simple question, saying, "What do you want?" And I just burst out crying. And I can hear myself, because in the midst of my tears, I heard myself saying this, "I just want to go home. Home." Because pastor cannot say, "I want to die." And another day, when I talk to my pastor to pastors, I can tell you, the struggle that pastor wrestle is something that we cannot tell publicly. And I just cried to God. And it was during those tender moments, the Lord led me to this Hawkins song. I can't sing. If I sing, I'll scare the hell out of you. Is this Hawkins song? And I think your Chinese Pastor Daniel knows this song, right? All right, so I loosely translated it for you. All right, there's this part in the song that says that Jesus knows my heart. He comforts and He blessed me with life. He blessed me with peace. He blessed me with joy. Even as I walk through the stormy path, He knows and He understands. There's something in the dialect that connects in my spirit. I came to this part where it says that He knows and He understands. It doesn't take away the pain, but I felt that my pain was understood by God. And that's why my favorite playlist during that period is Hokkien worship song. Something that could... by the way, I'm not Hokkien, I'm Teochew. But it connects. And I continue to bring this pain to God in worship. Instead of wallowing in my pain, instead of wallowing in all the disappointment with people, instead of just focusing on how people have mistreated me, I turn all this to God. And when I turn this to God, and I tell God, "I want you, Lord," the healing of God came. I can't say that it's immediate, but I tell you that as I continue to wait upon Him, as I continue to bathe in the presence of God in worship, something happened in my heart. Healing come. And in fact, today I can stand here alive and tell you the story, because God sustained me. Because God sustained me. The same God that sustained me will sustain you. If we are honest with ourselves, if we allow ourselves to be honest with God, if we assure that God is faithful, if you continue to address the self-talk in your life, and you aid yourself to worship God, God will sustain you. God will heal you. I want to bring the service to a close now to just ask the worship team to just sing this song, "As the Deer Pants for the Water." Because this is Psalms 42. And I want to encourage all of you, whether you are here or you are at the other two centers, can I invite all of us to take the next couple of minutes, be in touch with your emotions, be real with God, and surrender your pain, surrender your struggles, surrender whatever that's in you unto Him who loves you.